fasting is a great tool that we have. And I also know of spiritual gifts to prepare us for what God wants us to do. And I'm going to talk about fasting. And I know that you've got, did everybody get a copy of the fasting manifesto? Our pastor writes every year. It's so wonderful. It's all about fasting. You can learn more about fasting in his handout. I hope you get one before you leave here. I thought he might want us to have one. I don't know if there's enough out on the table. If somebody might want to go and grab one for everybody, that'd be great. So that you at least have that to take home with you and continue to understand why we fast. Now, Pastor has called, in this letter that you read, he has called us into a corporate fast that together we may approach the throne of God for certain things. And we're going to talk about those certain things, but because you fast because of certain things. Now, I've got two written sermons here, but I got a ton of them in my spirit. So I'm going to be giving them to you. I hope your spirit is open and you're ready to receive. If you're not, then you just sit there and listen with your ears. But I pray you hear with your heart. Amen? Because I do believe that God wants us to start the year this year and have a testimony by the next time in 2021 of what took place for our body. And the fasting and the unity in fasting that will take place, I want us to focus on not only our praise and worship, but I want us to focus on what God is going to say to us today of joining together and what you're going to fast for, right? Or what you're going to be fasting to obtain or to enter into. You're going to understand a little bit. I'm going to cover two things about fasting before I may even get into my next sermon before we leave here. Oh, look at that. The clock has stopped. That means that we have all the time in the world here today because I won't know what time it is. I'll just keep it. No, I won't do that. I endeavor to be short as the Spirit allows me to this morning. I tell you what, man. So it says 1:33. I don't know what that really means. Maybe I got an hour and 33 minutes. we'll be mindful of the time. So when you guys know about me coming up here and praying, and I want to offer that to you again through this 21-day fast. I will be here, and I try to get here by 5:30 to pray in the sanctuary. So if you need a place to go to keep you're committed to what God is telling you, then you can come and join me here at the church. It is not going to be a round circle prayer when you come. It's going to be a come, sit where you like, lay where you like, and pray before God, aloud, not aloud. Roll over on the floor, bend, bow, do whatever you want on those days because you are making your homage unto the Lord for the 21 days. So I wanted to say some things about fasting before we start because, you don't have to fast food. You don't have to fast things. You don't have to fast I'm trying to get what's the right word for it? You don't have to fast anything if you want to. But you don't have to, a traditional fast would be to lay down your plate and abstain from food. And we've been taught by our pastors that, you can do lots of different things. You can do juices and you can do a vegetable fast, or you can do somebody said they can fast TV, or they can fast sodas, or they can fast. You do it however way that God commands and commits you to do so. But what I want to say to you is you don't have to have 21 days of that. You can have 5 days of that, or 7 days of that, and switch it up. You got 5 days of laying down your plate, 5 days of, okay, no sodas today, no juice, no sugar. You can have whatever. And so you can switch it up depending on how the Lord is leading. But those are not the important things, right, about fasting that we should be listening to. I'm going to read you, and this is where I received some revelation about fasting. Isaiah 58, if you want to turn there in your word. We're going to read the whole chapter because I think it speaks to some of our attitudes about fast. Excuse me. Isaiah 58 chapter. It speaks to, I think, some of the ideals that we may have about fasting. And when we hear fast, you know, we're like, oh my God, we got to fast. Oh Jesus, what's going on? I think some of the people in Isaiah's day also had those kind of feelings and thoughts as well. All right, let's just go into the word. Isaiah 58. Cry loud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek, inquire for, and require me daily and delight externally to know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God in visible ways. Now you see what's happening here. God's already told them they're acting like they are people who don't have any sin. They think they have a right to come before me, you know, because they call themselves Christians maybe, or whatever they are. But he's calling them to a question here. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? They're talking to God. Why have we afflicted ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find profit in your business, and instead of stopping all work, as the law implies you and your workmen you should do, you extort from your hired servants a full amount of labor. I'm reading from the Amplified, so there's some extra words in my Bible that may not be in yours if you're reading from a different translation. All right? So he answers them. They asked him those two questions, and he answers them. Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find profit in your business, and instead of stopping our work, as the law implies, you and your workmen should do, you exhort from your hired servants a full amount of labor. So in the Old Testament, they had fasting days, a day of fast. I don't know how or how many they were or when they were, but they fasted regularly. It was a thing that the children of Israel did, and the priests especially fasted. And so he's saying, when you're doing that, this is what's happening. You act like it's a normal time that, oh, you can just go and do whatever, and, you know, you just do as you do normally. The facts are that, this is verse 4, you fast only for strife and debate to smite with the fists of wickedness. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Now, how many of you think, they say, I'm fasting, and you say, well, I'm fasting because I want God to do something for me. Right? That's what you think. You say, I'm fasting because I want him to hear my voice and answer my prayer. We remember that. Remember Daniel. Daniel fasted. You know, he did 21 days. He said, and God told him, when you first prayed, I already sent the answer. But he fasted and prayed, and then he got the answer after 21 days. So we put in our minds that we should be, oh, I'm going to fast for something, right? There's an object. There's something that I'm putting forward to be the goal of my fast. The results of this, me fasting, should be blah, blah, blah. Is such a fast as yours, verse 5, what I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul? Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have. Will you call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? This is Isaiah talking. He said, would you call that a day? Rather, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now pay close attention. The fast that I have chosen, this is Isaiah speaking to the Israelites, I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke. That sounds really good. This is the fast that God has chosen. These are the things that he's going to do because we are fasting. Those things are great because those are what we want. We're praying for loose bonds. We're praying for yokes to be released, right? We're praying for results of this nature. Verse number 7. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. Listen. Now, he's taking it a step further here now. There's something that we're actually doing while we're fasting. Even though we're believing for those results, he's saying, but are you dividing your bread with the hungry? Dividing your bread with the hungry, bringing the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the deeds of your own flesh and blood. I think sometimes we don't see that as part of our fasting unto God. That yes, I'm requiring God to answer me of this thing that I want, but I'm not only just praying, I'm also doing something. I'm also listening to God to hear what he wants me to do. And he may want me to do some of these things that's here. That's a point that we should listen to, because we don't really know. We can fast, and I know you have experienced this. You fasted and didn't get what you wanted from God and didn't get the answer that you were seeking. You fasted and you said, oh, I guess God will do whatever. Or you thought, or you came, or you conjured up an answer. Because you said, well, I fasted, so I think the answer is no, because I didn't hear anything from God. Or you might say, well, I think the answer is yes, because I'm leaning toward that way anyway. Or whatever you did to get what you felt like was the answer. But here he's saying, well, maybe one of these things were it. Oh, you're fasting. Oh, you're coming, you honoring me. Oh, okay, Linda. So why don't you open up Caleb's closet and have people come and get clothing? What? As part of your fasting to God, and this is what he is talking about. You come and honor him, but then a word drops down into your soul and you ignore it, basically, instead of being obedient. You forget that you are in the place where he wants you to be and that those things can happen. Well, what if he said, well, I want you to make a meal and give it to your neighbor? You're becoming more sensitive to God in that what we just read. You're honoring him. You're prostrating your soul and you're bearing your heart to him, drawing closer to him. What do you think is going to happen? That means that you're going to be starting to listen more intently and more sensitive to his voice. And there's things that he's going to drop down in there. It could be things that you have never, ever thought about. And the fact that he said to do it, you said, I don't know, that can't be God. You want me to do what? I want you to bake a lemon meringue pie and give it to Curtis. And you go, oh, God, you don't want me to do that. But it could be something as very simple as that, or it could be something more definitive. It could be something like, hold your tongue and don't speak to those people on your job like you've been doing. I want to minister to them, so you shut up. It could be something as simple as when you're grocery shopping and you're standing up picking up bananas, there may be someone that is picking up bananas with you, and they might need a how you're doing today. You're blessed of God. It may be that He says, you need to pick up the phone and call your sister and tell her how much you love her. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about, so if you don't have a sister, call your brother. And if you don't have a brother, call me. I love to hear your voice and love to talk to you about God. So you're talking and you're going, you're prostrating yourself. You're praying, right? You're intently praying. You're focused in your prayer when you're fasting. You're coming, you're singling yourself out. That's why I said that the church would be open so that you can have a definite demarcation in your spirit that something else different is happening than all the times before. This is just not something normal that we do. Fasting wasn't supposed to be something normal that they did. Even though they did it regularly, it was supposed to be something out of the ordinary day. He spoke about going about the business of your work. He talked about how they were supposed to do it. They were supposed to stop everything and lay it before God. They weren't supposed to go on their job. They weren't supposed to make money. They were supposed to have those days set aside for God. We have Sundays for that. We were talking about the Old Testament. We know God has fulfilled all those things. But think about that while you're fasting these 21 days. What was that, verse number 7? Verse 8, then share your light. Now, after you've done this and you've understood what God wants and you're being obedient to what he says, then share your light, break forth like the morning. Then. Not before then, not a time where you thought it should come. He said then, after you have been obedient to what he has spoken in your heart. So you fasting, you know, we're going to learn about in the New Testament about how it sensitizes your spirit to his. You're honoring him. That's the point of fasting. And your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, concluding you to peace and prosperity, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Look at what God is saying to us by us simply fasting. By us simply turning aside some part of things, something normal that we normally do. He says, lay that aside for me. You lay it aside for God, and in its place you are praying. In its place you are seeking to be obedient. In its place of whatever it is that you've laid aside, you're doing something purposefully. Purposefully. You are wanting to do something purposely. Are you hearing me? Oh, I'm just going to fast. The pastor said fast, so I'm just going to fast and I'll just go about my day and it'll be over in 21 days. And you would have received nothing. I want our testimony on the 26th of January. I want everybody in here to stand up and say, listen to what God has done for me over these 21 days or at the end of the 21 days or however it is that God has ministered to you. I want there to be a testimony burning in your soul. Can you commit to me to agree that that's what you're going to do? I believe the Spirit of God is drawing us into this. Don't be a haphazard Christian, one that only depends on what the situation and the circumstances do. Don't live your life following after what the world dictates. Don't live your life on what other people are saying about you. Don't live your life because you have a lack of finances or you need finances for a certain thing. Don't live your life because people are not doing what you want them to do. Don't live your life like that. Live because of what Jesus is saying to you. Live because of how God is prospering your soul. Ignore all the rest. It's all noise. Give it not another thought. Don't let your joy be manipulated because people are attacking you, saying things about you. They don't like you. They don't like what you do. You may be a supervisor. You know, supervisors are the air, get the air, all the ire of all the employees. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you're the supervisor. You're in charge. You have to tell them what to do. And people don't like to be told what to do. Anybody here? Oh, we got one on the back row. Hey, that's a blessed brother. We know that he's been before the Lord. Because Jesus wants to tell you what to do. He explicitly wants to tell you what to do. Not because, oh, so that you can hurt yourself. I'm suffering for Jesus. And I'm laying down here and I'm praying and I'm rolling. And I'm in the whatever, the fix. He's whipping me down. You know, anytime you give Jesus something or give up something for him, I guarantee you there is more glory on the other side of that than you can ever imagine. I'm speaking from experience here. I want you to know there is more glory on the other side. You say, well, where's my glory? I've been doing so much for him. What is it? Well, maybe you need to tweak what you're doing. God, am I doing it in the right method? Am I doing it at the right time? Am I saying the right thing? Is my attitude correct? Because you're honoring him. And he suffered greatly for us. He suffered greatly so that we could rejoice. This thought came to me. If you're suffering right now because you're listening to me, then I guarantee you there is greatness on the other side. Because if you're here because Jesus has said to be here and you said, man, I don't like that Curtis, how he talks and how he ministers, but you're here because Jesus said, be here. I'm being obedient. Then I'm telling you, there's a multitude of blessings on the other side because you have listened to what he wants you to do. This year, I want this every year I do this, and I want you to do this. I want you to go forth in these 21 days. I've loved these fasts because I can direct specifically things in my heart and my spirit that I want to take place. And I tell you what, God does not, he does not disappoint. There's no disappointment with him. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of your new life. You have new life. We have abundant life, Lennon. I want us to live life to the fullest this year. I want to see smiles on the face on Sunday mornings when we're in praise and worship. And I want you to know, I don't see many smiles. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're in really, you know, I'm getting Jesus all. And your face is all soured up. And you're praising God. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. I tense every muscle and I got to get in there. Cry to praise him. I don't know what it is. If that's what's going on, I don't know. But you guys need to find some joy in the Lord. Some joy to laugh and to lift him up because of how good he is. If that is your thought, if you have to say when you're walking the door, Jesus is good. And today I'm going to magnify his name because he is good. If you have to come up with a scripture to repeat to yourself, so that you can know that, hey, wait a minute, I can't have joy. No, you say, why do I want to do that? Well, I want you to minister to me because I'm looking at you that there is joy in the house of God. I say, that would be such a blessing. Hey, praise the worship people. Isn't that? Raise your hand if you agree with that. That would be such a blessing that you are enjoying the presence of God. Not that you're enjoying the music or the worship, but that you are enjoying God. That you brought, even if we sounded terrible, that you brought the presence of God with you. Hey, it's going to be better this morning because I've got God with me. Not because, oh, you know, we have no drama, you know, so What happened right there is the Holy Spirit grabbed my tongue because I was going to say something that was going to condemn you. So he took it away from me. I don't want to do that. So I want you to get that joy in your spirit and get it because you have it. If that's one thing you need to put on your fasting prayer list, put that on there. God, let me show joy by faith. So here's a little something for you. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And every morning praying in the Holy Ghost and just enjoying his presence. And I had this thing in my spirit, how do we as Christians need to look? We need to look like the Holy Ghost. So, and how does the Holy Ghost look? And God gave me this flash. He's got this great big grin on his face. His eyes are beaming out because that's who he is. He can't not do that. And so when you get into the Holy Spirit, I want you to know your face is going to grin. You ever grin so much that your muscles in your face hurt? That's what's going to happen. You say, well, I can't do that. You've been made to do that. What are you talking about? You can't do that. You say, well, I haven't done that. Well, you need to tell your face to work up. Get into the place where Jesus is. Let the new life come forth and spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, your right relationship with God. I want to get you to the place where you are not denying what these things in the scripture are saying to us. Don't deny it. The circumstances may say differently, but don't you deny it. Don't you deny it, especially when it comes to your children. Don't you deny it. Don't you deny that you are right in right standing with God and that there's justice for them. Don't you deny it. Don't you deny it. They may be doing all kind of ungodly things, but don't you deny it. Don't you deny that you are standing on the word of God and that they will come forth to what? A relationship, a right relationship with God. That's showing your right relationship. If you are in a ministry today, if God has told you to do something, and you're doing that thing, and it's not producing what you think it should and ought to do, don't you agree with the circumstance? Don't you agree with God, which is what God told you? He said, do this because I want you to be blessed, or I want you to achieve blah, 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 whatever the case may be. Agree with God. I want your fasting this year to kind of stand you up to say, you know what? I don't care what they say or how it looks. I am not denying my Jesus today. And I come in that door, and if people are not praising and worshiping God, I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to shake everybody in here if I have to. Whew. That's been my attitude. I said to myself, I'm going to praise God regardless of what my circumstances look like. I'm going to lift him up, especially in this place, because he deserves our praise and our worship. Then shall your light break forth like the morning. Let's try to get this through this verse. And your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. It didn't say it was going to happen. It said speedily. Speedily. And see, and when I see stuff like this in the Word of God, I say, God, you said speedily. This thing, I'm unbelievable, this thing. And this show ain't going speedily. It's like, he'll just kind of look at me, and I know what's up. What's up? There's something that he wants me to do, and I've decided that I didn't want to do it, or I decided that it was too easy or too light, or that it wasn't him, or that blah, 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 or any kind of excuse I can make of why this is not happening. It's because of me. You know, we're still in our flesh. We're not been resurrected unto heaven yet. You know, but my Bible says if your spirit leaves your body, then you are dead. There's no more work on the earth for you to do. So you say, well, so I got to live in my body, right? I've got to have or operate alongside of my flesh, which I should be denying and putting down on a minute-by-minute basis. All right, it's 11:30. Let me give you this a little bit more. And your right relationship with God shall go forth and you, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from your midst, listen, the yokes of oppression, wherever you find them, the finger pointed in scorn toward the oppressed or the godly, and every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. He hit the nail on the head right there, didn't he? What's he telling us? Stop complaining. Stop pointing your finger at all everything that you see that's wrong. Oh, Pastor Eric, he didn't do blah, blah, blah. Pastor Eric didn't do blah, blah, blah. You know, he didn't do blah, blah, blah. He didn't recognize me, blah, blah, blah. He did blah, blah. That's what that's talking about. This is the word. You want to be blessed? Stop doing that. What do you mean stop? If you stop doing it, there is no depth, a height that God has not promised us when we obey his word. The thing that you want is tied to what you're doing or not doing. Let our fasting open up our eyes this 21 days. Open up our eyes. If you don't like praise and worship, then you should be praying. God, reveal to them what it is they need to do so that I can like it. Sometimes, because I know you don't know. Well, if you didn't know, maybe you tell me. Maybe that's what he's saying. You need to tell Curtis what it is that's bothering you. Get it off your chest. Get it out there. And you've been afraid to go before me and ask me or say something to me. I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to say that the word of God is spoken clearly and plainly. Be obedient. God can change everything in a second. And we need to get a hold of that. You know, I like my wife. Oh, you're not being, Jesus don't like ugly. She says it all the time. And what she means is somebody has come and said something mean to her. And she just say, you know, Jesus don't like ugly. What happened? She didn't talk about them. She is talking to God. You know, I know Jesus don't like ugly. And you know, he don't. He don't like you acting crazy. You direct your frustration and your disappointment, if you want to call it that. You direct whatever words you want to pour out on somebody else that's not right. You direct them unto God. He's the only one that can fix them. He's the only one that knows Julie's heart just like the back of his hand or her hand. And if I pray, and if it's a right prayer, if it's a righteous prayer, if it's an honorable prayer, and if it's what God wants, Julie would change. Oh, he said, what? How would she change? The Spirit of God, and you know, we only will change if God says something to us. I can beat Steve over the head with a pipe, bust him down, and try to make him do something, but he I ain't doing it. I ain't. But when he get into his prayer closet with God, and he starts listening to God, and he starts saying, Jesus, I love you, and I'll do anything for you. And he'll say to him, well, stop making Curtis mad. Right? That's the Spirit of God. Oh, I don't believe you're doing that. You looked at me like, what is it? No, I'm just preaching. Do you understand that principle? Husbands and wives understand that. I can't make sure you do a thing. She's my wife. I can ask her to do something politely, but she won't do it. Guess what? I'm up a creek in that race. Come on. How do I get her to be so sweet? I stay before the Lord, and I'm praying, Father, help me understand my wife a little better. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me. Call out on them. You guys out there, if you're married, I know you do this. You can't go so long without And I don't know how the world does it, but you cannot go so long without that. Knowing that God and us, we have a relationship with him. She does the same thing to me. I get in my prayer closet and God will say, you know, you need to do this. You need to clean that garage out. So you better get yourself to. I'm meddling now. Okay, all right. verse 10, and if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday. Now here he's connected it directly with you doing something with the stuff that you're fasting. If you're fasting away sodas, he said, well, go give sodas to somebody that wants some soda. If you're fasting your food, and go give some food to somebody who needs some food. This is what he is saying. He's connected it right with it. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones, and you shall be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations, and you shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from traveling unduly on the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a spiritual delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor him and it, not going your own way, or seeking or finding your own pleasure, or speaking with your own idle words, man, then will you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage promised for you of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You should take that chapter, go home and meditate on it, and read that scripture over again, because he is pointedly saying what it is that we need to do in that particular type of fast. In the New Testament, it talks about fasting. I'll just mention this because I know our time is up. About the disciples fasting. There was a demon possessed man, and the disciples had tried to cast him out. And Jesus told them, first of all, the first thing he told them was what? Do you guys remember the story? He told them the first thing. He said, you don't have enough faith. You have unbelief in your heart. This is why you couldn't cast them out. And then he said, after the man came to him and he cast the devil out, he said, well, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. So there is a fast that we can enter in for deliverance of another person's soul from demonic oppression. See, God is not playing. We've been playing. We've been playing around with God. We've been wanting God, I want God, heal me, God. Heal me. Do this for me, God. But we've been not wanting to lay down our flesh. It is paramount, important, that during your fast that you agree with God, whatever it is. That we made it whatever we wanted to make, and we called it food or whatever it is, that you do it to receive the results that he is saying. And it can be as detrimental as the deliverance of someone's soul. When are you going to get fired up? When are you going to get mad? When are you going to get mad enough to start honoring the word of God and doing what God said and putting it back on God? Jesus, you said, if I do this, you would do this. I'm not seeing that. Now be careful when you do that. But you can do that. Word of God, here is my promise. I'm standing on the promise of God. God, why have you not delivered my son? Why are you not? What's going on with me? What is it in me that I need to get rid of in order for this to be a testimony of mine? We can't all stay the same, right? God delivered us into his righteousness and holiness, but we can't stay the same. He says you must deny yourself. You must pick up your cross and follow him. So what is it in my flesh that's causing God, that he doesn't like, that's standing in the way of the thing that I said that I want? What is it? You say, well, I never thought about it like that. Read Isaiah 58. Just read it over. It's going to come to your soul. I don't have to do anything. I'm blessed. I'm a kingdom child. Well, you keep on doing that. You know, because what happens is, it happens to us all. I've been walking this life for 40-some years, and it comes to a place where God says to you, I cannot bless you until you start doing blah. You say, what? I said, I couldn't believe he actually said that to me. You what? I can't what? I was going up the steps, and the Spirit of God dumped in my heart, said, Curtis, I can't bless you anymore until you start doing blah. Obedience is what brings the blessing. If you're not going to be obedient, where's the blessing? And I'm talking about stuff that he's spoken to your heart. Now, you could try to do all this stuff that's in the Word of God. It's a bunch. You know, and really yoke yourself with all this. And he'll be looking at you like, what are you doing? All we need to do is simply hear what he says and do what he says. I don't have time to get into that part of the sermon this morning. I know it's time for you guys to go. Oh, well, it's 8:10. What? So one more nugget, and I had a whole sermon on it, and maybe Pastor will let me do it one day. Jesus the Anointed. The word came to me. Sometimes we don't understand Jesus. We say Jesus Christ, and we think Christ is Jesus' last name. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. His name is not Jesus Christ. It should be said Jesus the Christ. The Christ is Jesus the Anointed One. You know, the translation in the Greek is that, and also the Messiah. And the nugget I have for you is this. If he is the Anointed One, if Christ means the Anointed One, then what does Christian mean? Christ-like, which means we are the Anointed Ones. We're like the Anointed One. Let's just throw it out there. And that means that you and I have some studying to do on the Word of God, because he wants us to walk this earth like he was. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, I want to say. Now, if you want to call yourself something else, then I think you'll, you know, be whatever we want to be, Baptist or, you know, Episcopalian or Catholic. You can call yourself one of those. But if you want to call yourself a Christian, then you and I better get on some anointing. You and I need to start producing some anointing in our life. You and I, to be Christ-like, need to have some anointing. That's all I'm saying. And then during these 21 days, come on, during these 21 days, set your heart to have a result at the end that we can all rejoice. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. God is a good God. He ever endeavors us to glorify him. Oh, so we have a couple of songs we'll sing as, and you're dismissed, you can go, but we'll sing a couple of songs as you leave, or you can stay and worship God. But just remember, the fast starts tomorrow, and whatever it is that God placed on your heart, be committed. I'm looking at each one of you, and I'm going to ask at the end of the 21 days, did God give you what you wanted? Let's have some accountability, right? And some awesome blessings from God, because we are doing what he said. Can you imagine this house full of the Anointed Ones from God? Amen? Hallelujah.